number six this morning. Thank you, ladies, for that good singing. Amen. I like them good songs. Amen. I like them songs that gets to my heart before they get to my feet. Amen. I like it. Mark chapter number six. If you've got your places, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll wait on the rest of you. All right. Mark chapter number six. Verse number one, the Bible says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could do there, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. I'm going to read that verse again. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning. I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd give me unction to preach, Lord, what you put in my heart. And I pray, God, for each person that's here, Lord, thank you, Lord, that they are here. Thank you, Lord, they've taken the time, Lord, to be faithful to be at the house of God this morning. And I pray, God, you'd bless them, Lord, from your word. And God, I pray you'd speak to hearts and lives. I pray, God, if there be someone here this morning without Christ, they're not saved. They don't know that heaven's their home. God, I pray that, Lord, today, Lord, they would experience and come to know the free pardon of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, if there be some Christian, Lord, here today that's weary, wavered, Lord, maybe they're even backslidden. God, I pray you'd stir in their heart and encourage them, strengthen them, and draw them to your side. And I pray, God, have your will and way in all that's said and done. God, I pray you'd challenge us and change us and help us, oh God, in the days ahead, Lord, from your word and by your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts now. Have your will and way and help us in Jesus' name. Lord God, I need you. Fill me and use me, I pray. Help me to say the things that need to be said. Help me not to say things that need not be said. Have your will and way, and we'll thank you, and we'll praise you in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 Mark chapter number 6 and verse 5 is a very interesting verse to me. The Bible said he could there do no mighty work. He could there, we're talking about the Lord Jesus, could there do no mighty work. I want to preach this thought this morning. If you'll bear with me, I'll bring it out. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Obstacles of omnipotence. Obstacles of omnipotence. You know, the Bible says over in the book of Psalms, speaking of that generation that wandered in the wilderness, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 78, 41, he said, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. He said they turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. When I think about God and the God of the Bible that we understand there are some non-moral attributes, that is, things that describe not just what he is, but who he is and then what he can do. One of them would be that he's omniscient. Would you agree with me to God, that the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, he's an omniscient God. That is, that he knows all things. Proverbs said he's running, his eyes are going to and fro throughout the earth, and he beholding both the good and the evil. He knows what's going on. God of heaven is an omniscient God. He knows all about. Can I remind you this morning, he knows about that deepest heart hurt on the inside that you've got that nobody you think knows. Hey, can I remind you that those things that you think you're hiding from him, he knows all about it. He knows. Hey, can I remind you that those thoughts that you've got that you think nobody cares about, God knows, good neighbor. God's an omniscient God. But let me say, not only is he omniscient, but I will say he's an omnipresent God. That is, he is everywhere. You say, how does he do that? I don't know how he does it, but he's everywhere. Amen. I understand that this morning he's localized in the throne. Amen. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that this morning. But through the person of the Holy Spirit, he's within every one of us. Amen. Y'all with me? Hey, through the person of the Holy Spirit, he's living inside of every believer. And then, hey, but he's everywhere. There's nowhere that he's not. He's everywhere. Amen. He's an omnipresent God. And then let me say this. He's an immutable God. That is, hey, he's a God that there's no change. He don't change. He don't fluctuate. Over there in Malachi chapter number 3, I've quoted that verse several times. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hey, he's a God that's immutable. That there's no variableness with him. Thank God. You ought to thank God for that. Hey, but then let me say this. There's another attribute of God, and I want to look at it this morning. We serve a God that not only is he omnipresent, not only is he omniscient, not only is he unchangeable, but he is omnipotent. That is, that he is the Almighty God. That's the way he revealed himself in the book of Genesis. He's the Almighty God, the El Shaddai. He is the Almighty God. He said over, Jesus said in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 8, hey, he's the Almighty. Are y'all with me this morning? Hey, we serve the God that has all power. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Are y'all with me this morning? Hey, he said all power, not a little bit of power. Somebody said, well, the devil's got some power. Let me say, the devil's got some power, but God's got all power. Hey, the devil don't have any power that's not been delegated to him through the hands of a sovereign, omnipotent God. God's got all power this morning. And we serve a God. Hey, I serve a God that Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 20 said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power which worketh in us. Hey, I'm talking about a God that's, hey, he's not just able to do, but he's able to do exceeding. Amen. Y'all know what exceeding means. Now, a lot of people misquote that verse. That don't say exceedingly. It says exceeding. Hey, exceeding means to go far above and beyond. But he says he's able to do exceeding above. Amen. Exceeding above. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? Now to him that is able to do exceeding above and beyond, hey, far above, he's able to do way more than you can even ask or think. Hey, I'm talking about a God that's got power. I'm talking about a God that said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm talking about a God that, hey, he spoke the world into existence. I'm talking about the God that through the very, hey, breath of his mouth and the word of his mouth, hey, he formed the mountains, and he formed the canyons, and he spoke the oceans into existence, and he told the tides, hey, you stop right there, and he told the beach, you start right there, and he told the mountains, you come up this high, and he told the trees, you grow this high. I'm talking about a God that's got all power. I'm talking about a God that breathed. Hey, he formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed life into him, and he became a living soul. I'm talking about a God of power this morning. I'm talking about we serve the God that's the Almighty God. He ain't got just a little bit of power. Are y'all with me this morning? I'm talking about when Moses got to the Red Sea. Hey, he didn't say, build a bridge. No, God said, stand still. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hey, he's an all-powerful God. He's an almighty God, amen. Hey, I'm going to say, hey, we serve an omnipotent God. Don't get excited or nothing this morning. Hey, but we serve the God of all power. Hey, we don't serve a little God. If your view of God is little, hey, get your view of God there. Hey, we serve a big God. He's an almighty God. Oh, my. Y'all know what all means. Man. Popeye didn't have power until he ate spinach. Are y'all with me? Amen. Y'all with me? Hey, he's an all-powerful God, almighty God. That's the God we serve this morning. You need to get that in your head and in your heart that we serve an all-powerful, almighty God. He's able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Hey, look up in here. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's all-powerful. But it's interesting to me that when we read the psalmist, that he said that they turned back and they tempted God, and he said they limited the Holy One of Israel. Wow. You're telling me that an almighty, all-powerful, omnipotent God that spoke the universe into being. Hey, I'm talking about, it was a big bang, all right. He said, let it be, and bang, there it was. Amen? Hey, I'm talking about a God that much power, but these grumbling, murmuring Israelites limited him. Yeah. Now here we are in Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. In verse number 5, the Bible says, and he, this speaking of Jesus, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now, I understand a lot of people today think that healing sick is the mighty work, but I want to say healing sick is a good work, and it's all right. Hey, but look up in here. Hey, saving souls is the greatest work. Hey, somebody said, do you believe in miracles? I believe in miracles, absolutely. Every time a sinner gets saved, bows his head, and trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus applies the blood. Hey, of the Lamb on his account. Hey, every time a sinner is saved and born into the family of God, that's the greatest miracle could ever happen. Hey, I'm talking about a God that's still a miracle-working God. But he said when he was here in his hometown, he said he could there do no mighty work. Saved that he, in other words, he did heal a few people. He said he saved a few folk, or healed a few folk, but he couldn't do no mighty works. So I want to look at this morning. I want you to think with me as we go through this passage. And I'm thinking about limiting or obstacles of omnipotence, or limiting. How do you limit the Lord? Amen. How do you limit the Lord? Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you an obstacle to what God can do? Are you an obstacle? Are you, personally, think about you now. Don't talk about your wife or your husband or the person. Are you an obstacle to what, not only what God can do, but what God wants to do? Are you an obstacle to what he wants to do in your life? Are you an obstacle to what he wants to do in your family's life? Are you an obstacle to what he wants to do in your church life? Come on now, y'all get with me. It's preaching time. Hey, it ain't time to pray. Hey, are you an obstacle to what God wants to do in the realm of Christianity? I mean, maybe God wants to send revival, but there's a bunch of doubting Thomases going around saying, God can't do that. God, hey, look up in here. As long as you've got the attitude, God can't, and you don't trust him, guess what? God won't. But I want to help you this morning. God still can. Amen. Are you an obstacle to what he wants to do, let me say, in this country? I know there's many people wiping America. They're just flushing America down the drain saying it's over. Hey, look up in here. We still serve that omnipotent, almighty God. Hey, can I say if America will fall on her face and turn to God, God can still send revival to America. And let me just tell while I'm here, he may not ever send a revival to America, hey, but he can send revival to this church. And let me say, he can send revival to a church, or he may not. He may not send revival to Walnut Cove. He may not even send revival to New Hope Baptist Church, but he can still, sure enough, send revival to your heart. Amen. He's still an omnipotent, almighty God. Amen. We serve him. But hey, how do you become an obstacle? Well, let me say, there's many people that, man, I got so much here, but in Luke chapter number 4, there's another account when Jesus came to Nazareth. I want to just say real quickly, this is not the same account. The one in Luke 4 took place before, about a year before this. And I can give you a few reasons why. In Luke 4, Jesus went to Nazareth. He was alone. He went in the synagogue. He worked no miracles at all, and he was run out of town. They tried to kill him. But in Mark 6, here as we've read, about a year later, chronologically, he brings his disciples with him. He goes in the synagogue. He heals a few sick folk, but he stays in the area and goes around about the villages teaching. And so we see that in the background. I want to give you that. But I want you to think about this thing of being an obstacle to omnipotence. I'm talking about getting in the way of God. I hate to think that I got in God's way. I'd hate to think that God wanted to do something big in my life and I wouldn't let him because I didn't believe him. I'd hate to think that God wanted to do something big in my family. I'd hate to think that God wanted to use one of my children, or God wanted to do a great work in my church. But hey, I just said, oh, we can't do that. Hey, it's a lot of stuff we can't do, but we serve a big, big God that he can do a whole lot more than what we can. Amen. Yeah, amen. I'd hate to think that I was the one that's getting in God's way. I'd hate to think that I was a hindrance to the Holy One of Israel. I'd hate to think that I was the one that was limiting him. I'd hate to think that I was an obstacle to his omnipotence. You say, what are you talking about, bro? Watch with me. I want to say, why could he there do no mighty work? You understand that our God, he still is the almighty God with all the power. Amen? But I want to remind you today, we don't see a whole lot of mighty work going on. This case right here in Nazareth, it's not some isolated case. Can I say that could probably be said about a lot of churches this morning? Amen, preacher. That's good preaching, preacher. I'm glad you're reminding us of that. Why don't we see the great works? Why don't we see things that God can do? Why don't we see God working like He used to in days of old? Why don't we hear the stories about how it used to be? I've read the books. I've watched videos. I've seen the documentary. I've heard people talk about the histories. I've seen and read it, and I heard all about it. Look up here. I'm glad for what happened in the past, but I still believe we serve the God of the right now. I mean, He's not the great I was. Hey, He's the great I am. Help me out. He's the great I am. Yeah, man. So why is it? What is it? What is it in your life? What is it in these people? Let me say number one. Right here in verse number one. I see number one, they were unappreciative of His presence. They were unappreciative of His presence. Look at verse one. The Bible says, this is the King James inspired, authorized, preserved Word of God. He said, and he went out from thence, and he came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. Now, could you imagine you grew up in Walnut Cove all your life? Could you imagine, Brother Steve, growing up in a town all your life, and you go away, and you're gone for a while, at least a year, and you come back to your hometown, and your friends are there, the people you hung out with was there, everybody was there, but when you got there, none of them wanted to hang out with you. Hello? The only people come with you was the closest friends that you brought with you. Nobody else. Could you imagine coming home and, nobody cared? Number one, they were unappreciative of His presence. Look, watch it said. He says He came unto His own country. You see that? That is, He came into Nazareth, the place of His birth, the place where He belonged in this world. People knew Him there. People watched Him grow up. People knew, who He was. They knew where He came from. But to them, it was, well, He's just another Nazarene. Let me say, number one, they were careless. They gave no attention to Him. They were careless. They gave no attention to Him. Can I help you out this morning? There's people like that in churches, probably in this church this morning. The Spirit of the Lord's working. People's excited, man. The songs are stirring hearts. God's working in lives. Wanting to encourage. God's speaking and God's working. And there's people that's sitting here this morning like, oh, I've seen this before. It ain't no big deal. It's just another church service. Yeah, man. Can I say you better not be unappreciative of His presence? Can I say He don't have to show up? Can I say He's a big God? He can go anywhere He wants to go. And when He does come by, you ought to be grateful. They ought to have been hanging rags on the tree saying, come home, Jesus. Come on back to Nazareth. We'd love to see you. We'd love to bring you in and have dinner with you. We'd love to sit down and talk to you, ask you how it's been. Ask you what you've been doing. Ask you how it's been going in your ministry. We'd love to spend some time with you. But the Bible says the only ones followed Him was His disciples. Come on, y'all with me. They were unappreciative of His presence. I'm going to say we've got multitudes this morning, that are unappreciative of his presence. They were casual. Not only careless, but they're casual. It's His hometown, you know. It's His own country, hometown. His own country. There's no praise. Why would we praise Him? He's just one of us. I mean, this is the attitude. We see in this story, we see where the people in the Nazareth, they gave Him no praise, they gave Him no worship, they didn't want to walk with Him, they didn't want to witness. You hear none of them witnessing about Him, you see none of them working for Him. I mean, they're very casual and very careless in their approach about Him. And I will say there's people this morning that they say they know Jesus. They say they know God. They go to church where the presence of God is. And when He shows up, they sit back and they, ho-hum. And the holy has become the ho-hum. And when God used to stir and God used to work and people used to go to the altar, they'd be the first one on the altar crying and a boo-hooing and a shouting and a praising Lord. Some of them even run aisles. And today they sit back and say, oh, I've seen this before. Hey, and we've become so careful, or careless, and so casual about church, and we think, oh, it's just another church. We're going down here and fulfill my righteous duty. I'm going down here and go through my little religious rut. I'm going down through here and listen up in here. Hey, and they are unappreciative of the very presence of an omnipotent, almighty, holy, sovereign God. We sing songs and the choir sings, and we're not, look, I'm just going to help you. We're not here to entertain you. Church is not a circus. If we want entertainment, man, we can bring in the big bands and we can sell tickets. Hey, but we're not here to entertain. We're here to worship the Lord. But we come to church and then you got to pry people to even sing out the hymn book, and you got to slap them upside the head to get them to wave their hand a little bit, and you got to beg them to say amen and shout a little bit. Hey, we ought to come to church and it ought to be the icing on the cake. You ought to be walking with God all week long. You ought to be talking to Him. And the song says, how He walks with me and He talks with me and He goes with me everywhere I go. Blake, and I'm talking to Him, and I'm spending time in His presence, and I'm reading the Word, and I'm witnessing about it, and I'm working for it. And when I get to church, it's just like, whoa, it's time to worship. It's like the icing on the cake. It's like, it's time to go at it, man. But many times we're so carnal, we're so caught up in the world because we're not appreciative of His presence. We're not appreciative of His abiding presence, the Holy Spirit in our life. So we grieve Him and we quench Him all week long by the things we do, the things we, hey, put in our bodies, the places we go, things we put on our bodies, hey, things we listen to, things we watch, and Blake, they grieve and they quench the Holy Spirit of God. And we come to church and we're so caught up in the world and we're so carnal that we can't worship the Lord. And you wonder why people go to churches where they sing for 45 minutes. It's because they're trying to get the world out of their mind. Hey, so they can get them even focused on the Word of God. You know why, Greg? Because they're unappreciative of His presence. We've become careless and casual about the presence of God. The Bible said over in Psalm chapter 22, I think it is, that He's the God that He said He inhabited the praises of Israel. Can I say, if you want the presence of God in this church, you ought to start praising the Lord. And I want to remind you that praising the Lord is an audible thing. It's a loud thing. Hey, praising the Lord, when you start praising the Lord, nobody has to wonder what you're doing. They don't have to say, was He talking to me? No, He wasn't talking to you. He was praising the God of heaven. Amen. You say, well, you sound Pentecostal. Hey, listen up here. Hey, Christians and Baptists was praising the Lord long before Azusa Street, hey, in the early 1900s, long before the Pentecostals came along, God's people was shouting and clapping and praising the Lord. Yeah, man. Read your Bible. Amen. Unappreciative of His presence. They're careless. They're casual. But let me say this. Not only that, but they become contemptible. Y'all know what that means. Y'all know the old saying, familiarity breeds what? Contempt. You get along, you're around somebody or something so long, hey, that you start you start just getting contempted at it. Hey, we say, what's that mean? That means they dishonored Him. I mean, they should have laid out the red carpet, man. Here comes God. Could you imagine? God's coming home today. Hey, get the carpet out. Hey, fix the fatted calf. Fix some chicken and dumplings. So God's coming in, amen. I mean, they should have had their best out, but they showed Him no honor. They dishonored Him. They disgraced Him. They despised Him. They disrespected Him. Can I say, don't point your fingers at the people at Nazareth, because we do the same thing. God shows up. Hey, God's stirring your heart. He gives you the chance to praise Him, the chance to worship Him. I wish I'd get done with this. I'm preaching up in here this morning. They become contemptible. So familiar with it, so casual about it, that they start, I mean, honestly, it irritates them. Why? They got to holler. Who do they think they are? Look at them. They think they're somebody. See, you become careless and then you become casual And then you become contented. The holies become the ho-hum. Jesus is just another. Can I remind you this morning, Jesus is not just another. Can I remind you this morning, hey, listen, yesterday there was Little League football games all over the place. Y'all know what Little League football game, I don't, Pop Warner, whatever you want to call it, Little League football games. And Brother Steve, I didn't go to one of them, but I guarantee you, I didn't even have to go. I can guarantee you, on the sidelines of most of them games, there's little boys out here like 10 and 12 years old running up and down the sideline, running up and down the field with a piece of pigskin in their hand. And they're running. And every one of them, there was a mama and a daddy and maybe a grandma or a grandpa hollering, "Half a boy, go, go, go!" They was there. They was doing it. They do it every week. But them same people that act like Comanches at the ball game, they come to church and sit like wooden Indians. Yeah. Well, we don't get emotional about nothing. We're not an emotional people. Oh, we're not? We're emotional about everything, but what God's done for us is what they meant to say. That's what they meant to say. We get excited about what the world's entertainment offers, but we don't want to get excited about God. Amen. God, I don't want nobody to see me wave my hands. I don't want nobody to see me lift my hand. And then very same people, when Dale Jr. gets wrecked, they'll be going, blah, 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 blah. But we're not emotional. No. I'll tell you what we are. We've become so unappreciative of His presence. So unappreciative of His presence that we don't take it serious and we take it for granted. Unappreciative of His presence. Let me say this. I'll hurry along. Number two, they were unaware of His person. They were unaware of His person. Look in verse number 2 and through 3 and 4. He said, when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue. You know, that's what Jesus did. He's looking, when He went to town, He's looking for a place to go to church. Y'all with me? He said He went down to the synagogue, and He said, and many hearing Him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? They heard Him teach. They heard what He had to say, and it astonished them, and they began to ask questions. Number say this, they were unaware of Him, and it shows up because they were inquisitive. They began to ask questions. Let me say these questions were inappropriate. It showed their inappropriate curiosity. Inappropriate. I mean, they should have known who He was. After all, He's from Nazareth. They watched Him grow. They knew who He's supposed to be. Are y'all with me? They should have known Him. And then they start asking these questions. From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? See, they start questioning. They start asking questions about his power. They start asking about, hey, where did he get the power? Where did he get the wisdom? How can he do this? Where did he get this? And then they start asking about his people. They say, is this not his brothers and his sisters? Are they not right here? In verse number 3, right here, he said, here's his brothers and his sisters. Hey, they questioned his power. They questioned his people. They questioned, who is this man? Hey, y'all understand? I'm talking about people that grew up around him, people that saw him, people that knew who he was. They heard he was coming to town. They started asking questions. Man, he's already astonished them through his teaching. Now they want to know, who is he? Why is he? People asked, they're inquisitive. They're showing some curiosity. But let me say this. No, they're inquisitive, but they were insulting. Watch what they said in verse 3. Is not this the carpenter? Watch. The son of Mary. Now, calling him a carpenter would be bad enough in that day because he wasn't just a carpenter. Are y'all with me? But in the culture, when you call somebody a son of, y'all remember this and throughout the Bible, Simon, the son of Barjona. Are y'all with me? In biblical days, you showed respect to someone. He's so-and-so the son of, and always the son of the Father. He's the son of the Father. But see, they didn't even say he's the son of Joseph. They didn't even give him that much credit. They didn't call him the son of God for sure. They didn't say, oh, this is God's son. No, they said the son of Mary. Showed him great disrespect. See, that was an insult to him.
They watched him. They were astonished at what he had to say. Hey, but, and they were inquisitive about who is he? How did he get this power? Where did he get this knowledge? How's he able to do these things? But then they turned around right out, just flat out slapped him upside the face and insulted him by calling him, he's the carpenter, the son of Mary. A very insulting blow in that culture. He's the son of Mary. Now look, can I help you out? Jesus is more than the son of Mary. Can I help you out this morning? Hey, we'll probably start praising him and worshiping him a whole lot more and a whole lot better when we realize that Jesus is God. He's not the man upstairs. He's not just your old good friend. He's not just your neighbor. Hey, look up in here. Listen, Jesus is God Almighty. Hey, nothing makes me mad. I've heard so-called gospel things talking about, hey, if you talk to the man upstairs. I'm looking around like, what stairs? Hey, he's not the man upstairs. God help us to give us a sense, hey, a sense of the presence of God and knowing the person of God. Hey, he is an almighty, holy, sovereign God. I'm telling you, when you get a knowledge and a grip of who God is, he's not just one of us. He's not just one of the good old boys. I mean, they write songs and country singers and even so-called gospel singers nowadays. They write songs and try to make it out like Jesus is just one of the good old boys. And let me say this. You don't drink beer with Jesus because Jesus don't drink beer. I thought I'd just hit that while I was here. Jesus don't drink beer. For all you country singing buffs, amen. Hey, he's not just one of the good old boys. He's a holy God. He's a holy God that cares about you enough that he gave his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus, to come and die on your behalf. You ought to fall on your face at his presence. You ought to, worship him. You ought to praise him. You ought to just throw yourself aside and say, I don't care what nobody says. I don't care what nobody thinks, but I love him this morning. I'm thankful for him this morning. I want to praise him this morning. I want to worship him this morning. I don't care what mama thinks. I don't care what daddy thinks. I don't care what the deacons think. I don't care what nobody thinks. I just want him to know I love him, amen. Amen. But they insulted him. And let me say this. Not only were they inquisitive, not only were they insulting, but they were irritated. Watch verse 3. He said, they said, in the end of verse 3, they said, and they were offended at him. They questioned his person. They questioned his people. They insulted him. And then they said they were offended at him. That word offended has the idea of a scandal. It's the word we get scandal from. It means that they were tripped up. He was a stumbling block to them. People that grew up all around him, they were familiar. Well, can I help you out this morning? There's a lot of people that are religious. And let me say, I believe in old-time religion. The Bible says pure religion before God and the Father. Amen. James chapter number 1. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the widowless and the fathers in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Nothing wrong with that word religion in the right context, but in our culture, the way religion is used, religion is garbage. Just go ahead and say amen. But there's a lot of people that are familiar with religion. They go through their religious ruts. They go through all of it. And they are familiar with a figure named Jesus. Are y'all with me? They're familiar with a list of rules. They are familiar with creeds and pacts and all kinds of covenants. They're familiar. But when Jesus, the God-man, comes into the equation, he's a stumbling block. Y'all looking at me like a calf looking at Newgate? Go witness to some of these people. Go witness to a Catholic. And ask him, say, well, what do you think about Jesus? All right, we believe he's the son of Mary, the son of God, okay? Well, how do you get saved? Well, I've got to be baptized. I've got to believe in Jesus. I've got to be this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. And I'm like, wait. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh the Father but by me. He said, hey, if any man come through any other door, he said, he's a thief and a robber in John chapter number 10. He said, I am the door. Yeah, man, I'm the door, not a door, the door. Hey, man, he's the door. I want to say, hey, but he's the door, amen.
the door.
He's the only door.
There ain't no other way. But when you start bringing up that Jesus is the only way, them religious people, they don't like that.
Well, how are you getting to heaven? Well, I'm doing the best I can.
Well, wait a minute. Well, why don't you quit trying and start trusting?
The work's already done.
You don't get to heaven by doing the best you can. You get to heaven by trusting the best there ever has been. Amen. But I'm telling you, Jesus, he'll throw a wrinkle in a lot of religious circles. I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses, what do you think about Jesus? Well, we think he's a good prophet. Well, hold on now. Jesus said he was God in John chapter number 8 and 10. He said he was God. What y'all going to do with that? Well, he's not God. Well, I mean, you got a problem. See, he's a stumbling block to those people. They're familiar with religion. They're familiar with a lot of things. But I'm telling you, when you start getting to nail it down, it's a straight way. It's a narrow way. It's the only way. Jesus Christ is the way, the way, the way, the way. Amen. See, that's narrow-minded prayer. It's about as narrow-minded as the King James Bible. Amen. Jesus in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, no man cometh to the Father but by me. But see, they were unaware of his person. I imagine they watched him grow up. They watched him down there at Joseph Carpenter's shop. They watched him do a lot of things. They seen him grow up. Then he goes out and he's doing this ministry work. And then they come back. When he comes back in town with his disciples, they're, who is he? Then there's his brothers and sisters over here. Now, how did he get that power? Man, I don't understand that. I just don't understand. See, it tripped them up. It's a stumbling block. The Bible says he's a stumbling block to those kind. He's still a stumbling block to some. Yeah. Let me say this. Not only they limit him, hey, through their unappreciative of his presence or their unawareness of his person, but let me say something about their unbelief of his power. I got to hit this. That's where I'm headed the whole time. Their unbelieving of his power. Look at verse number 5. Verse 5 says, and he, listen now, this is that omnipotent God. And he could there do how many? No. Everybody say no. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Watch verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief and went round about the villages teaching. Now this blows my mind. Jesus basically said that he couldn't do certain things in that city. See, you got to understand, he's so powerful that he can set limits where he wants to set limits. Are y'all with me? Y'all taking? Uh-huh. Kind of like he's so sovereign that he can give you a choice and he's still in control. Amen? Y'all all right with that? And he's so powerful that he can set limitations and still be all powerful. And he's basically said that I'm all powerful and I can. You see, the problem was not with the power of God. The problem was with the doubt of the people. The disbelief. And watch what he said here. Verse number 6. He marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the village. Let me say something about this unbelieving of his power. Let me say it was amazing unbelief. It was amazing unbelief. Watch. See what he means? He says he marveled at their unbelief. Now, y'all know God. Remember we said one of the things about him was he knows everything. And what does that mean? That means he knows everything. But Brother Mitchell, when he saw their unbelief of who he was, what he could do, when he saw their unbelief, the Bible said he marveled. That means he was amazed. He wondered at their unbelief. Y'all know, like, he was like, wow, I can't believe y'all don't believe who I am. Y'all understand? He marveled at it. It wasn't like, no, it was like, wow! I'm talking about these people saw him grow up. Are y'all with me? They witnessed probably some of the miracles. They'd done seen him before. And now when he comes back into town, he's got his disciples with him, and he starts teaching, and he starts doing certain things. He's even healed a few people. And he sees that they don't believe him. The Bible says he was marveled because of their unbelief. I wonder if he saw your unbelief. What do you think? Well, guess what he does?
Do you believe God, or do you have to have it all figured out on pencil and paper and say, well, we can't afford that, we can't do that, there's no way we can do that? Or are you going to trust God? And he's, hey, you understand that faith is not believing because of circumstances. Faith is believing in spite of circumstances. Amen. Faith is not believing and saying, I'm going to step out and do this. Hey, if God, if you'll provide the way, I'm going to step out. No, faith is saying, God, I'm going to step out and trust you to provide. Y'all see the difference? Faith says, doubt says, God, if you'll build a bridge, I'll walk on it. Hey, faith says, God, I'm going to step out and trust you to put a bridge. Doubt says, God, if you split the water, I'll hold up my rod and we'll walk across. Faith says, I'm going to hold up my rod and God's going to split it open and we're going to walk across on dry ground. Are y'all seeing the difference? Now, and when he saw their unbelief, he marveled at their unbelief. Let me say, sometimes it just don't make sense. Can I help y'all out this morning? I'll just give you a little brief personal testimony. I was in Bible college. I was working my way through. I was working at Cracker Barrel. And I got asked to go on a mission trip. And I couldn't hardly pay my bills. I couldn't pay my bills, to be honest with you. I had a lot of help getting through Bible college. I had people help me. Thank the Lord for them people. Some of them's even gone on to glory today. Thank God for that. And them people. Hey, but somebody asked me, it was going to cost me about $2,000. And I said, there's no way, man. I don't have it. And I think I raised about $800. People helping me out. I was working for people and doing things. Had about $800. And I told him, I said, well, I'm going to go on and go. The fellow I was going with, I said, I'm going to go on and go with you. And we went to the Dominican Republic for the better part of 2 weeks. And we went down there, and, man, we ministered, and people were saved, had a good time. And I, all the time, I they said, was your word? What word? Hey, man, if I didn't get the money, they just wasn't getting paid, amen. But no, you got to trust the Lord is what I'm trying to say. And I got home, and I went to Cracker Barrel the next week, and I went back to work. Now, I want to help y'all out. Cracker Barrel, you ought to tip them good. They make $2.13 an hour waiting them tables, unless you don't tip them. Hey, you ought to tip them good, amen. And, hey, I was at work one night. I come out of work, Greg, and I had a cell phone, and I had an answering machine, message on that thing, and I said, I wonder who called me while I was at work. I didn't recognize the phone number. And I dialed it up. I'm on my way home from work. I lived about 3 or 4 miles from Cracker Barrel. And I'm on the phone, and that thing says, it's a lady comes on. I recognized her voice. They used to live in Virginia where I used to live, and her husband had moved several years now. We hadn't seen them. And they had moved somewhere down near Asheville. And this phone says, this phone message says, hey, this is so-and-so. And said, we just wanted to let you know that we put you a check in the mail for $1,000. And I said, what? And I'm about to have a hallelujah Holy Ghost fit. And I'm coming up the road, and I hit delete on that message, and it said, you got another message, and I hit it. And it said, hey, this, and it was the same woman. Are y'all with me? And she said, I just wanted to tell you, she said, I made a mistake. She said, my husband said he didn't put a check in the mail for $1,000. He put a check in the mail for $2,000. And I did have a Holy Ghost about to wreck the truck fit. And I said, hey, man, that'll pay for the trip and a little extra to help pay the bills this month. You say, why you say that? Because I'm saying, hey, sometimes you just got to step out and obey God and trust God to put the money in the bank. Hey, sometimes you got to step out and trust God and ask Him to provide the way. Hey, trust Him, to make it happen. Amen. Somebody said there's a fine line between faith and disobedience. Yeah, and there's a fine line between, doubt and disobedience. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of people going around, well, I don't want to be a fool. Well, hey, you can be disobedient, amen. If God puts it in your heart and God has something for you to do, step out and do it and trust God. Put Him to the test. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Either He will or He won't, amen. I'm not talking about something stupid, jumping off the side of the building saying, God, take care of me. Don't be an idiot, all right? Don't tempt God. But if God's got something for you to do and He's put it in your heart to do it and it's in line with the will of God and the Word of God, step out, honey, and do it and trust Him. He's a big, big God, amen. It's amazing, the unbelief, though. The unbelief of many Christians. Well, we'd run a bus, but we can't afford the insurance. Why? You know, every time God's people needed money in the Bible, you know what God did? You know, Peter had to pay the taxes. What did he say? He didn't say, let's have a bake sale. He didn't say, let's have a yard sale. He didn't say, let's raise. No, he said, go down there and get a fish. Catch a fish. Amen. When the church needs money, hey, let's go fishing and catch a fish. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. When the church needs money, go fishing. Amen. Hey, the money will be in their mouth or in their back pocket. One, amen. But churches don't want to do anything. I mean, hey, there's Christians, there's preachers. Man, I know preachers, Brother Robbie. I know a preacher right now. I could take you to his house. He said, well, we used to have revivals. He said, we don't have revivals no more. They don't work. Now, guess what? With an attitude like that, he might as well not have them. You know what? We go have revivals around here. Hey, if it gets, I don't care. We might have one every other week if we think we have to. Hey, if it takes a revival every other, they say, well, they get all fired up and they go on and forget, and in 3 months they're back down and it's the same as it was. That's why it's called a revival. Do it again. Amen, preacher. I was talking to Brother Roger Baker. He preached here a while back. I went up and preached their chapel for him a while back here in their college. And I was talking to him, and he was telling me about a place he went to preach revival. And he said the first night, the pastor brought him in his office, and they sat down. And he said, the pastor told him, he said, now, brother, he said, probably, he said, it'll just be my church folk this week. He said, no, we hadn't really advertised. We hadn't invited. We hadn't pushed. We hadn't done it. You know, he said, probably it'll just be church folk this week. And he said, probably, you know, you're going to be preaching to just church folks, just Christians. And he said, probably ain't nobody going to get saved this week. He said, so don't expect that. Oh. And Brother Baker looked at me and he said, what was I there for? With an attitude like a man like that, that's a preacher. Are y'all with me? And I just want to think that when God looks at that, he marvels at our unbelief. Why are you having a revival? I understand revival's for the church. Well, when you study history, every time the church is getting revived, hey, sinners are getting saved. Amen. Hey, and when the church is getting stirred, hey, sinners are going to want some of that. And the reason a lot of sinners don't want none of what's going on is because the church is deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Amen. I mean, a lot of churches are deader than a morgue, man. This one's quiet enough. We could stand a little espresso. Amen. Hey, help us, Jesus. I'm saying the unbelief, man, it marveled. Hey, it was amazing. But let me say this. Now, it was amazing, but it was appalling. Their unbelief was appalling. I mean, watch what he did. He marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. You know, see, he was in Nazareth, and He didn't exactly go all the way, but he said, man, there's unbelief. I can't do nothing here. So he leaves, and he goes, I'm just going out here to these little villages. Now, there's a lot of preachers that they won't preach unless they're in a mega coliseum. But Jesus went out to these little villages on the outskirts, and he said, I'm going to minister, and I'm going to teach in these villages. He was so appalled. And the people in his home, the people that should have known him, they took him for granted. I wonder if he came through that door this morning. Let me say, the Bible said in Revelation 3 that he is walking in the midst. I wonder what he thinks. I wonder if he finds an inviting place to do mighty works. Or if he's appalled and he says, well, I'll just go on over across town. Somebody wants to worship me. Somebody believes I can worship. I wonder, let me say, can I help you this morning? You say, well what's he want to do? Let me say this. He still got power to provide salvation for sinners. Amen, preacher. I'm glad he's got power to save sinners. I'm glad he still saves old sinners, preacher. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever liveth, making intercession for him. He's still able to save, amen. Hey, he's able to save.
He's able to save. Somebody shout hallelujah, stand up and say glory to God. Thank God he's able to save, amen. He's able to save them to the uttermost, amen, that come unto God by him. See, if they'll come, listen this morning, if you'll come, he'll save. Hey, if you'll come, he'll save. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord, hey, now watch, he's got the power to save, but that don't mean everybody's going to be saved. Y'all with me this morning? Hey, young people, y'all listening? Just because he saves don't mean you're saved. It's whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, if you'll do the calling, he'll do the saving. If you'll do the believing, he'll do the saving. Yeah. Hey, but there's some people that express their unbelief because they'll never call. They'll go to hell knowing that Jesus saves. They'll go to hell knowing God was an almighty God. They'll go to hell being very familiar with the stories of the Bible. But they never placed their faith in him. They never invited him to do a mighty work in their life. He provides salvation for sinners. Let me say this. He provides strength for servants. Strength for servants. I'm thinking about Isaiah over there in Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verses 30 and 31, where he talks about even the youth are going to grow weary and wax faint. But over in verse 31, he said, but they that wait upon the Lord. That word wait, it means that they look to him, they trust him, they are expecting from the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. It's not somebody that just sits here and says, well, he'll be here. No, that's not the idea. They are expectingly, they're serving him, they're waiting. You go to Cracker Barrel and what do? They come by your table and they wait on you. They that wait upon the Lord. Amen. Y'all with me? I like Cracker Barrel. I went there last night. That's why I'm feeling so good. They that wait upon the Lord, Brother Mitchell, Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall renew their strength. That is, they shall change. That word renew, it means they're going to be changed. They're putting off the old and they're getting on the new. Amen. Hey, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. He'll give strength to servants, amen. You say, well, I'm getting tired. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, he said, you'll reap if you faint not. Amen. Be not weary in well-doing. Hey, he said over in Luke 18, he spoke to them in a parable saying, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You need some strength, start praying and trusting God. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Hey, I'm telling you, say, I'm tired. Hey, I'm weary. Let me say this. It's all right to get weary in the journey, but don't get weary of the journey, amen. Hey, keep pressing on. Keep trusting God. Hey, keep seeking him. Keep placing your faith in him. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, amen. They're going over the circumstances. They're going to be soaring. Hey, like an eagle. Y'all ever watch an eagle? He's a majestic. Hey, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, man. They're go run and they ain't even gonna get tired. Whoa, they're sucking wind from another world, man. Whoa, it feels good. They're running, not be weary. And even if they can't run, he said they're gonna walk and not faint. They can't run, they ain't soaring, but man, they're gonna walk and not faint. I'm gonna keep plodding on, I'm gonna keep trotting. I'm getting old, I'm getting weary physically. But Brother Wayne, with the help of the Lord, I'm gonna keep on walking with him. I'm gonna keep prodding and plodding along. I'm gonna keep in the journey. I can't soar, maybe I can't run, but I can sure enough walk with him. Keep walking. Amen. He gives strength for the servants. But let me say this, and I'll give you this lastly, and y'all go home and eat chicken. He provides salvation for sinners. He provides strength for the servants. But I want to say this, he'll provide supplies for the saints. But my God, Philippians 4:19. Those Philippians over there, they're supporting Apostle Paul. They're supporting other missionaries, Macedonia. They're supporting the Word of God getting out there. And they're thinking, man, we're a poor church. What are we going to do? We ain't got money. How are we going to be able to? And he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. What glory! He's got more interest than BB&T ever thought about it, amen. I'm saying he'll provide your needs. You be faithful. You give. You trust God. Trust God, amen. Place your faith in him. And I promise you, you'll reap more dividends than any bank in this world. Amen. He's got supplies for his saints. I told you a while ago how he provided the way for me. Man, I could tell stories of saints down through the ages. how he's provided. And let me look, I'm looking around here, I don't see anybody here starving to death. Most of y'all got the same Dunlap disease I got, my belly Dunlapped over my belt. He provides. Look, I got a coat on here I didn't buy. Somebody gave me a coat. That's an $800 suit. And you can guarantee I didn't pay for it. And somebody gave me that suit. I'm saying, hey, I'm saying he gives supplies for the saints. You got a need this morning? Call on him. Call. Say, what's his number? Just ask through Jesus' name, amen. Say, operator, operator. Give me Jesus. You got a need this morning? You got a heartache? You got a lost loved one? You say, oh, they're too far gone. Hold on now. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. You got a need? You got a family problem? You got a financial problem? You got any problem? Right here's an altar. Pianist is coming. She's going to begin to play. And as she begins to play, you ain't even got to wait on the pianist to play. Hey, if you got a need, hey, the altar's open. And I just want to remind you this morning that you can be an obstacle to omnipotence, or you can provide an opportunity for omnipotence. It'll hinge on your faith. It'll hinge on you, what you want. You can be an obstacle and say, I don't believe in all that. I can't. Hey, God can. He's able. You can be the obstacle to God working in this church. You can be the obstacle to God working in your home. You can be the obstacle to God working in your own life or in this country. Or you can be one that says, God, here I am. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to get on my knees. And I'm going to pour out the blood and plead out the blood of Jesus over my family. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus on this church. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus on my life and on this country. And I'm going to ask you, God, I want to provide an opportunity for you to work. Some of you moms and daddies, you ought to grab your children and pray and say, God, here we are. God, help us. God, help us. We're praying all across the auditorium. In Jesus' name, Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, God, for being so good to us. Thank you for mercy and grace. Thank you, God, that we serve an almighty, omnipotent, sovereign God. Thank you, God, that you're not on the throne shaking this morning, that you've got it all under control. Thank you, Lord, that your nerves aren't shot, and that, Lord, your list isn't too long, and you can't handle what we've got. But, Lord God, we thank you that, Lord, you know it all, and you can do it all. And I pray, God, you'd help us this morning to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Let you exalt us in due time. God, have your will and way here this morning. I pray, God, for lost loved ones. I pray for lost souls. God, help us to have a burden. And help us to trust God of heaven. Reach out to them. I pray for many across this altar this morning that's cried out to you. God, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you'd hear the cries and work in their behalf. God, I pray for their families. I pray for their needs. I pray for whether it's a physical need or a financial need or a family problem. I don't know all the needs, but God, I know you do. And God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you touch them. God, that you'd help them to trust you. God, help us not to be an obstacle to your omnipotent power. God, help us, Lord, as your people, to be trusting and believing. God, we realize that the only limitation to omnipotence is our disbelief. And God, I pray you help us to be a people that trust you. God, help us to be a people that says, Lord, I believe even sometimes, but help my unbelief. Sometimes it's hard. God, I pray you help us. God, bless here at New Hope Baptist Church. God, I pray you'd save souls. I pray you'd stir the hearts of people. God, encourage them. God, have your will and way. And I pray that our best days will be ahead of us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.